This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rain, sleet, snow, and ice. If you do, and you live in the Northeast, you're living in the right place. It is messy up in the East Coast, and there is no question about that. You got snow plows and lots of people that were trying to navigate their way through a very strange weekend, a major winter storm. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous weekend as we dive into yet another week here in 2022. I'm getting used to saying that, right? I mean, listen, we're already up to mid-January, so yeah, I think you have one or two days grace of forgetting that it's 2022, and then you got to move on. All right, so here's the scoop on this. 130,000 people are without power because of that snow and that freezing rain that I mentioned that has just slammed so much of the East Coast. You know, Atlanta, Charlotte, Raleigh, so southeast, Nashville, parts of Nashville, also Philadelphia, New York, Boston. You get the idea, right? I mean, just nasty because it's that rare mix. I shouldn't say it's the rare mix because that happens, but when you get that freezing rain, then you toss in the ice and the snow, forget about it. You just want to stay home. That's it. I mean, look, snow fell in Florida. Yeah, it's true. In Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida, there were flurries. People were looking out their window like, what? What's happening? When it's fun and games, it's just light flurries and you're there in Florida, it's no big deal. But when you're in the middle of New York City and there's high winds and it's 50 miles an hour and the power goes out, yeah. Same thing with Maine. They had 65-mile-an-hour winds. Philadelphia, terrible weather advisory on Sunday evening. Snow started after 6 o'clock and just fell and fell and fell for hours. So if you are flying, perhaps, to the East Coast, you might want to check that flight because already so many had been canceled on Sunday. Even heading into the day, thousands of flights were canceled, 2,500 flights to be exact. Sad times in Texas. It was a very strange Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. A 44-year-old British national, Malik Akram, decided he was going to go into a Texas synagogue and take hostages. And he was going to take hostages because he wanted the release of a terrorist female who is doing time, serving 80-plus years in prison, a woman's prison in Fort Worth, Texas. So luckily, all the hostages came out alive, including a rabbi, a young rabbi with several young children, 11 hours after he went into the synagogue. It was actually live streamed on their morning service on Facebook around 11 o'clock on Saturday. And that live stream captured part of it before it was removed. So there were four people initially taken hostage. One was released around 5 o'clock on Saturday. The whole thing didn't wrap up until 9 o'clock. You had a gunman who was belligerent and threatening, especially in the last hours of the hostage crisis. It had to be an incredibly traumatic experience. I can only imagine. Even the president weighed in on this and said, we just don't have enough facts to speculate why a man targeted a Colleyville, Texas synagogue, taking four hostages, calling the standoff an act of terror. It was an act of terror. And we do know the reason that he did that is because he wanted the release of a doctor. Her name was Dr. Siddiqui, who is in prison, like I said, for 80-plus years. She's a terrorist. She had a 14-day trial. She was convicted and she was put away. She was put in this jail. She was found guilty of the attempted murder of U.S. nationals and government employees, as well as an assault against U.S. officers and employees. She's a Pakistani scientist who actually graduated from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and got a doctorate from Brandeis University. So that questioning in 2008 led to what they found, these notes about potential targets of mass casualty attack that she was going to be involved in. So 14 days later, after her trial, she was sentenced, the judge finding that a terrorism enhancement applied to her crimes, saying that she had made, that the judge had concluded that she demonstrated her actions and intent to retaliate against the U.S. government, including I hate Americans, death to America. So she is not getting out of prison anytime soon. She's actually in this medical facility that's part of a federal prison in Fort Worth. Her release date, 60 years from now. So this nut wanted her released, and he was screaming and ranting about that. Well, that at least was part of it anyway. And he was gunned down. And that once as that was happening, when they must have had the clear shots, and I don't know all of those details, they all were able to get out of the synagogue. But you can just imagine what a harrowing experience that must have been to go through that, especially as he was being super erratic and saying he had bombs and gun and everything else. They had to feel like, wow, I hope we get out of this, and they did. And what's interesting is this Akram had spent a couple of nights at a homeless shelter in Dallas prior to what happened. And he was quiet, they say. He was in and out. It was just kind of a way station for him. And he left the facility for the final time on the 13th, a little more than 48 hours before taking those people hostage inside the synagogue, which would have been about 20-some miles away. So he was motivated by the desire to release Siddiqui, who, like I said, is serving her time in a Texas prison not too far from all of this that had happened. And my, oh my, how that particular synagogue became the target. It could have just been a random pick of places in the area that he decided to make the grand stand and make the effort for that push, but did not survive it, as he was killed in that incident after it finally wrapped up. All right, it was a weekend of football for many of us. If you were a football fan, or your particular team was playing, you might have seen some good football, or you were depressed because there were some blowouts, no doubt. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk about those games and what happened with the Bengals and the Raiders, the Bills and the Patriots, the Buccaneers and the Eagles, the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. And then the final one, the Chiefs and the Steelers. It was a wild, wild card weekend in a sense. So when we dip into the man cave, we'll talk about that as well. And of course, coming up, it was a weekend of some interesting moments, I think, Saturday and Sunday. Not just, sadly, that standoff with what happened in the hostage situation, but some other things that happened across the country that we'll talk about as we zig in and out. What's going on in your backyard that is also happening in mine that we all can relate to, even if we have different points of view.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender-scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Politics. The former president, Donald Trump, had a rally on Saturday. What did he have to say? I'm going to tell you about that. Also, would you believe that politics are making us sick? Well, that's what a new study says. And then finally, Dick Morris is predicting that Hillary Clinton will take on Donald Trump in 2024. Really? I'm thinking that's no way is there a chance of that happening. But it's pretty interesting that he floated the idea. So first let's go to the rally. The former president had the rally in Florence, Arizona, and he talked about January 6th, and he says January 6th has become, this is just some of what he said, has become the Democrats Party's excuse to justify an unprecedented assault on American civil rights and liberties, appalling persecution of political prisoners. And then he said, the blatant abuse of power to harass their political opponents is disgraceful. It's never happened to this extent. We must protect our nation from these monsters that are using law enforcement for political retribution at the local, state, and federal level. So that was just a little bit of what he talked about. I mean, there's no question that Donald Trump wants to run in 2024. The governor of Florida wants to run too, DeSantis, and there are already lots of stories floating around about DeSantis, and Donald Trump apparently is not super happy about that. Would the Democrats really, would they really go for Hillary Clinton over Joe Biden, saying that Joe Biden has said that he wants to run again and he's the president, right? So would you dip back into that pool? Well, the ex-Clinton advisor, Morris, was on a show early in the day called the Cats Roundtable. And I happened to catch a little bit of that. And he talked about that the 2024 election would be between former President Trump and Hillary Clinton, that she set up the strategy, that she's positioned herself to be the Democratic alternative to Biden, but not just to Biden, but to the extreme left in the Democratic Party, and added that there would be other front runners, like Senator Cory Booker, who would be one of them, but that, you know, that she's a stronger candidate because of her ideological issues. So he seems to think, I mean, and listen, there are the Wall Street Journal, The Hill, a bunch of other places have floated the idea, have published stories kind of spurring on the idea of Hillary making a 2024 run. I can't think that she would want another stab at the presidency, and I can't imagine what that would look like. It would seem ridiculous to go in that direction to me. But no matter what you think is going to happen in 2024, who you want to run, or if you don't like anybody that's out there and you wish somebody would come in from left field or right field and make a difference, there was this study that came out of the University of Nebraska. And in this study, they're saying that talking politics gives people a splitting headache. And that 4 in 10 people say politics are a top stressor in their lives, that it causes them to lose sleep, fractures their relationships. 1 in 20 even say thinking about and discussing politics leaves them feeling suicidal. This professor, Kevin Smith, his name is, says that following political leaders' movements has never been easier because, of course, you're right, we've got the platform I'm on, the wonderment of radio, which we all love, right? It is the town square. But the addition of social media, online websites, podcasts, nonstop TV news cycle, and the findings are the result of this 32-question survey of Americans conduced 2 weeks prior to the 2020 election, 2 weeks after. And it mirrors the results carried out in 2017, and they say it still carries out to now, today, that it's pretty conclusive that this is what most Americans are thinking, right? That 50 to 85 million people blame politics for causing fatigue, feelings of anger, loss of temper, triggering compulsive behaviors, and that 1 in 20 contemplating suicide, wow, that's awful. I mean, that's awful. Then you need to shut it down and not pay attention to anything, because seriously. And who gets harmed the most? And who are the people that are feeling the strain of that and are having these potential health crises? And apparently, the most likely to feel the strain of politics are younger. The people that are interested and actively engaged, they're the ones that are feeling that stress. So I have one thing to say about that. Do not pay attention. If you are feeling suicidal, then forget about it. It's just absolutely not worth it. I do also think that there's no question it has fractured relationships, it has fractured families with the way people talk about politics. I mean, it's like an old cliche to trot it out, right? But it used to be religion and politics, don't talk about it, because in mixed company, because this will lead to problems. And I think you should be able to talk about politics and religion, but the problem is the people that you're talking with about it. how do they react to it? I mean, are you having a give and take discussion? Can you be on the opposite ends of the discussion? Can you disagree vehemently but still walk away as friends? And that seems what's really changed. That seems to be the thing that's really changed, right? That you can't do that. Like, you should be able to express your opinion among your friends, and if they don't agree, that should be fine. But apparently that just doesn't work these days because people are just so deeply rooted into, I hate you. Almost like, you know, I was thinking about the games this weekend. When you are rabid about a team, you grew up with a team, it runs in the blood, you get to go to some games, man, woman, or child, and you know it's us against them, and it's, we're going to war, we, and you see, use the we like you're there on the field. And I get that in sports, right? It's teams. It's one team beating another team. It's celebrating that victory. And this is the game of politics, but it is the thing that is the buzz in your backyard and mine that matters, because it matters who we elect. That's why I think you should be able to talk about politics when you feel like talking about politics and express yourself, because the more you know, the better informed you are when you go to vote. And remember, it starts locally, then on the state level, then on the national level. Your taxes, what happens to your environment around you, where money's being spent, all of that is part of your life. It's impossible to be a complete ostrich, because then good luck if you own a house and then you don't understand, you're looking at your taxes, why this, why that, or you don't understand why something's being built near your house that you had no idea was being built near your house because it was zoned differently, but you didn't pay attention to what the city council was doing. And it's not all on the negative side. I mean, you have a say on what can be positive in your life. And if you're not in some way in touch with this, trust me, my friends, it will reach out and grab you when you're shocked at how much something costs, or the person representing you is not there for the votes on the Hill, or they're not voting the way they said they were going to vote, or what their issues were that they talked about when you elected them. That's the worst, right? And that used to be the old complaint, that we don't need career politicians, we need other people, or we need something different, because it's the same old thing that we keep seeing and hearing, and we're frustrated. And since I cracked open this mic, that has been what people have said. Never happy with the way things are going, but not involved and not paying attention, it matters, because they want your votes. And if you pay attention and you have a solid block of people, then you have a better chance of getting the right people that you think will represent you better at all levels of government. But if you feel suicidal, then that's when you should be an ostrich. That's a whole different thing. And I get it. You look, half of the people in this new CBS News poll that was released on Sunday say they're frustrated with Joe Biden's presidency just a few days before he marks his first full year in office. When asked in the poll how Biden's presidency made them feel, half of the people said they were frustrated and disappointed. Additionally, there were 40% more that said his presidency made them feel nervous. A quarter of the people who responded said it made them feel calm and satisfied. So not that many. How about that? All right, coming up next, we're opening the door to the man cave to talk about what happened in the NFL.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Jeremy Scott.
British national Malik Faisal Akram, identified by the FBI, is the man who took hostages Saturday at a Texas synagogue before being shot dead. He released one of the hostages before an FBI SWAT team then stormed the building and rescued the other three. The suspect was heard ranting on a Facebook live stream of the services, demanding the release of a Pakistani neuroscientist who was convicted of trying to kill U.S. Army officers in Afghanistan. New Zealand's military saying Monday morning they were able to send a surveillance flight to the island of Tonga to assess an extent of damage from a huge undersea volcanic eruption over the weekend. A towering cloud of ash had prevented the military from launching any flights to the Pacific Island nation. More than 70 million people were under winter weather alerts over the weekend, and on Sunday, 2,800 flights canceled. USA Radio News. Former President Trump taking the stage Saturday night in Arizona, going after the current administration for destroying the country.
They're wrecking and devastating people's lives, firing Americans from their jobs, forcing innocent children to grow up in masks, closing their schools, destroying education, crushing their development, demolishing their futures, locking people into their homes.
Thousands of supporters gathering Saturday for Trump's second rally in Arizona since leaving office. Christopher Miller, acting Secretary of Defense during the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol, met with the House committee investigating the attack, according to NBC News. The committee is issuing further subpoenas and requesting several Republican lawmakers voluntarily testify. Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly negotiating a plea deal in his corruption case, saying a person involved in the talks. This is USA Radio News.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
And it felt like that this whole weekend because it was weekend of wild card madness. And we start with the Saturday games. The Bengals didn't bungle it up against the Raiders. They won 26-19. They have not won a playoff game in 31 years. 31 years. So Joe Burrow is my hero. I love this kid from Athens, Ohio. And this is sweet, big for them. There was some controversy in the game about a catch that made it 26 in the end zone, because a whistle was, whistles were blown. A Raiders players were saying they were hearing whistles, and so it should have, that shouldn't have happened. He was, Joe Burrow was throwing the ball as it looked like he was going out of bounds. He did not go out of bounds, but the whistles went, and so then that would be the play is over. So that didn't happen, though. They called it a touchdown. They moved on. The Raiders had a chance. They almost came back to tie it up. It was very close at the tail end of this game, and wildly exciting to watch it was, because it was that close. I knew it was going to be that kind of game. For Joe Burrow, he passed for 244 yards and a couple of TDs. Yeah, and some of his favorite targets were very handy. Let's just put it that way. So, like, Jamar Chase had a great game. Joe Mixon had a great game. It just, you know, this is this kind of season for them. But what I loved is at the tail end, at the end of the game when he was interviewed, how he said, yeah, we wanted to come out. We didn't, you know, hey, there were some plays that were made. There were some things that could have gone better. But this is one game, and we're moving on. Like, he didn't act like, we already celebrated that we won the division, that we were in the playoffs, but we're not celebrating. We're moving on to the next game. So that was the first one out of the gate for Wild Card Weekend. Then the Bills and the Patriots on Saturday night. It was all about the Bills. It was freezing. It was 7 below. That's what it was. Josh Allen, 5 touchdowns for the quarterback for Buffalo. The Patriots were all over the map. They could not do anything right. And right from the very beginning, this absolutely was Buffalo's moment, their game to win. Orchard Park, like I said, it was freezing, and the Bills erased any doubt of why they are there in the AFC East and how they are more superior than the Patriots. They beat the Patriots for the second time in 3 weeks is what they did by doing what they did in this win. And Allen set a team playoff record with the 5 touchdown passes that I mentioned. 2 to Dawson Knox, and Devin Singletary ran for 2 scores, too. It was just all about the Bills. The margin of defeat was the largest in the playoffs for New England in coach Bill Belichick's entire tenure, which started in 2000, right? I mean, they were so efficient. They were so efficient that there isn't anything else to say about that. They were great. They rolled in and did what they had to do to the Patriots. If we look at some of the other games, so that was Saturday. The Sunday game started with the Eagles in Tampa taking on the Buccaneers. Too many ridiculous penalties were costly. Not that I thought the Eagles were going to beat the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are definitely having won the Super Bowl and having Tom Brady and some of the weapons that they have were the superior team in this matchup. But Philly made so many mistakes, they pushed themselves out of it. I mean, you know, the 44-year-old quarterback took the first step on what they hope is going to be a repeat back to the Super Bowl, dominating the Eagles. But it gets tougher, and they know that as you move on. But they set the tempo pretty much right from the start. Touchdown passes of 2 yards to Ron Gronkowski and 36 yards to Mike Evans. So once again, he had great stats. Tom Brady passing for 271 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did get sacked a couple of times, though, by the Eagles. And to me, that shows that there is a little bit of weakness that somebody else could exploit. That's why they know, hey, listen, it gets tougher as we move from here. But Brady led the NFL in passing yards, touchdowns, attempts, and completions this season. Tampa gained the upper hand in absolutely by running the ball, keeping away from the quarterback for the Eagles and the league's leading rushing attack basically. And it doesn't get any better than that for the Eagles. They won four of their last five games to get that number seven playoff seeding in the NFC, but it was not a great game for them in any way. They still have a lot to do. I mean, for Hurts, I think it hurts me, some of the lame calls and some of the misses of his receivers, but just too many mistakes. Nick Sirianni, the first-year Eagles coach, said, it was just too big. We made mistakes. We didn't make plays. We didn't coach enough at the end of the day, and good for him for taking that on. So they're going to answer their off-season questions about what happens, and the Buccaneers are going to host the divisional game next Sunday afternoon against the winner of the Cards-Rams game that's going to be played on Monday night. So Arizona and Los Angeles, that'll be a fun one to end the weekend on. The 49ers and the Cowboys, oh my, where do we start with? Yes, oh, I know people are, Cowboy fans are listening to me, lots of people in the great state of Texas. I know you're disappointed because this was an upset in a sense. I mean, San Francisco's a good team, but Dallas is the higher seeded team, and going into this at home, no less, just wow. So Deebo Samuel ran for 26 yards for a touchdown and a big lead in the third quarter before the Cowboys finally rallied, but they ran out of time trying to get a final play in the 23-17 loss on Sunday at their house in Arlington, Texas. So, boy, the wait for Dallas to reach an NFC championship game has to go yet another year. 27 years after the first game flameout in the postseason for Dak Prescott. The second in three trips over six seasons. It was his first playoff game since signing a $40 million a year contract in the off season. He did run for a touchdown to get Dallas within a score. After Jimmy Garoppolo was intercepted, he had time to get his team in front for the first time on a drive that ended near midfield. A desperation fourth down pass was just out of receiver Cedric Wilson's reach. A 14th penalty. They were the NFL's most penalized team in the regular season, and that helped San Francisco run out most of the clock. So, you had at one point the Cowboys starting, and this is where the controversy will come in. There's a bunch of things that will be talked about with officiating, I think, in the next couple of days. The Cowboys started at their 20 with 32 seconds to go. So Cedric Wilson pitched to C.D. Lamb on a hook and ladder play. I love those. For 20 yards, it was pretty nifty. And Dalton Schultz gained 9 yards before getting out of bounds with 14 seconds on the clock. Dak Prescott took off on a designed run and slid at the end of a 17-yard run with about 8 seconds to go. Umpire Ramon George bumped Prescott trying to set the spot. The snap from the San Francisco's 24-yard line came after the clock expired. Wow. After the game, Dallas coach Mike McCarthy suggested Prescott was slowed down because he had a collision with George, with the umpire, Ramon George, and that a sideline official assured him the play was being reviewed. He said, the communication that I was given on the sideline was they were reviewing it. They were going to put time back on the clock, and the next thing I know, they're running off the field. So that was it. Prescott took the snap, spiked the ball, and that was it. That was the end of the game. So Jimmy Garoppolo, who is not appreciated, I think, by some of the people in the Bay Area for what he's been capable of doing, he got them into that position where they won. The 49ers were in control in the fourth quarter, but were not leaning on the running game that they thought could carry them to the win, blah, blah, blah. And then you saw what happened. I mean, that's the key thing of what I just said and the thing that's going to be talked about. And Dallas, I think, was you know, pretty defeated after that. Their season ends with the first wild card loss in three playoff trips for Prescott. So there you go. They're done. They're out. And San Francisco moves on. And that's wild card weekend. Arizona and Los Angeles, the next to play. So the Rams and the Cardinals. And that should be an interesting game. That's for sure. Certainly was a wild card weekend that was had blowouts and had exciting finishes. I'm not surprised by some of it. There was one big injury for the San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa had a concussion, and linebacker Fred Warner was also injured in that game. So will they be, you know, his was an ankle. Will they be ready to go next time around? We'll see. Close the door to the man cave. Stay with us.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
All right, we go to Queensland for a conversation with Joanne Lynham. She's written a book called An Angel at My Door, A Mother's Fight for Her Daughter to Live to Her Potential. And you are going to love, love, love hearing Joanne's story and about her daughter, Emma. And I think it's powerful for so many people listening to this show and beyond this show as well. Joanne, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So tell us the road to writing An Angel at My Door. What happened?
Well, initially I wrote a poem called An Angel at My Door. Now, when I say I wrote the poem, it's probably more accurate to say that at the time I was writing thank you notes to people after Emma was born, and my hand shifted across to a notepad, and in one go, without thinking, without having to, is that the right word, this thing just flowed. So I think it's probably more accurate to say I held the pen, but something far, far greater than me wrote that poem. So I never had any desire to write a book. I want to be really clear about that. In fact, a few years ago, a friend and I were chatting about a book we'd both read, and she said, oh, I'd love to write a book. Wouldn't you? And I said, no, not at all. And then I had a dream in which I was writing a book, and I woke up really in a state of panic thinking, oh, my God, no, I'm not writing a book. So when I looked up dream meanings, it told me, oh, that's a desire to learn more. And I thought quietly to myself, well, thank God for that. But I had the dream two more times. And the third time, I looked at my emails that morning, and from a big publishing house, I've got an email, and right across the middle of the email it says in big bold letters, is there a book in you? Click here. And something made me click, and I didn't even put all my details in, thinking they'll never call me, but they did. And it was a really unusual experience of hearing myself telling the story, telling her how it would be a book. And in my head I'm screaming to myself, shut up, don't say any more. And then I heard myself say, oh, yes, yes, I can write it. And so that's how the book came about. But I think it would be fair to say that large parts of the book came to me, and I am the messenger for it, which has very much been a lot of how my life has been lived. In fact, the title of the book, An Angel at My Door, I have had people say, oh, that's lovely, your daughter's an angel. No, let's be clear, Em is not an angel. She's far from an angel. The angel at my door, that refers to the poem, An Angel at My Door. The angel, if you like, is, you could call it universal energy, presence, consciousness, God, whatever name you want to give. It was whatever it was that came to me and handed me that poem. And that presence was with me when I was 9 weeks and precisely 3 days pregnant. And I sat to meditate. And I sat asking the question with my hands on my tummy. Just let me know, is this a little girl? Am I having a little girl? And then I saw a vision in meditation of myself give birth. And somebody was there assisting me, and they lifted this little girl up in front of me. And I could see immediately that it was a little girl and that she clearly had Down syndrome. That is one of the most amazing moments of my life. I will take that moment to my grave, because in that moment I felt so loved. I felt loving for everything, everyone. I felt incredibly still and peaceful and calm. And it wasn't so much just what I had seen that made me sure that I was having a baby with Down syndrome. It was more the peace that I felt, a peace I've never felt before. And I might say that not long before that, I had been to India in an ashram, and I had not felt that still and that peace. And I'd gone to India to find that stillness and that peace. And here I was at home in my own spare bedroom, experiencing incredible peace and stillness about this gift that I was about to receive. And I felt in that moment that this is the child I'm meant to have. I had a clear knowing, and still do, that this little girl and I had a contract. We agreed that she would come as my daughter and I will be your mother. And you'll come in this way with significant challenges and disabilities, and we will work through this together. And that's very much been the case. It's been an amazing journey with Emma, as it has been with my two sons as well.
Wow. So we get to the book, and in the book you talk about so many interesting things, so many significant things about Emma, and how a so-called disability doesn't mean that you can't live up to the other part of what your book says, a mother's fight for her daughter to live to her potential. So tell us what we'll learn in the book.
So the book you know, it begins obviously informing the writer a little bit about, oh, sorry, the reader a little bit about who I am, my history, my journey. So I share in the first part of the book the challenges that we faced in adopting our two sons from Sri Lanka. Australia is a very challenging place to adopt from. We've got some very interesting laws around that. But then the book documents Emma's arrival into our lives and how I guess I just naively thought, oh, well, yeah, the boys are going to this lovely school. She'll go there too. And I had a conversation with the principal who enlightened me and said, Joe, it will be very difficult for your daughter to come to this school or any school. And that was one of those moments where it's like life just gave you an absolute slap. And I heard myself say, well, what do you mean? Of course, it didn't take too long to figure out and to see what that meant, the way in which society automatically decides there's a box for somebody with a label called Down syndrome, yeah, and that's your box. And for me, it's like, no, no. I've never been one to be inside the box. A good life for any person is not inside the box. So school was challenging. Trying to have Emma included in ordinary things like dance, music were challenging, but school was very challenging. But eventually, of course, school finished, and I can remember sitting watching her dancing with her brothers at her graduation. And it was a lovely moment. She was very happy and smiling and laughing. And as I sat watching that beautiful moment, this thought crept into my mind, what now? What are you going to do now that school is done? And certainly for probably about 2 years, I would have to say that Emma's life kind of fell into an abyss. I couldn't get her up in the morning. I had all these wonderful ideas of, I'll teach you to do this, I'll teach you to do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. But I just couldn't get her to engage in any of those things until I came up with the idea of Emma working. And we had been to some, what we call in Australia, disability employment services. And they told me, look, Mrs. Lyon, your daughter's never going to be able to work. That's not going to happen. And I left, of course, feeling really disheartened, but knowing that is just not true. There is a place, a role, a purpose. My daughter is here for a reason. And in the back of my mind, as I was driving away that day, I remembered something that I had said just shortly after Emma was born. And I was taken to recovery, and a nurse was checking on me, and she said, Mrs. Lynham, you have a lot ahead of you. The journey will be very challenging. Are you sure you don't want to speak to the social worker? And I said, no, I'm fine. She came back and she more or less repeated it. And out of my mouth came these words. What I said to her was, you're going to know about this little girl. She is not going to be hidden away. I had no idea where it came from. And as I drove away from the DES providers, the disability employment provider, that thought came back to me. And of course, I had the idea that she liked to shred. So she started working in the downstairs room, shredding for us and for neighbours and family, friends. And then I presented the idea to her of, what if we could take this outside to the bigger world? So, of course, that meant looking into bigger shredders, and who knew what the world of shredders looked like. And it just has been the most amazing, blessed experience to watch. Once we got going, it to see businesses give Emma an opportunity. So it took a little while to get the very first business, which was a wonderful legal firm here in Townsville. And they opened the door with another legal firm who opened the door with another one.
Wow. Well, that story is powerful, and your story is powerful. This book is a wonderful book. An Angel at My Door, A Mother's Fight for Her Daughter to Live to Her Potential. Joanne Lynham, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
I gotta look at you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.